KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Back in the golden age of radio, even before KBOO, in fact, even before Ira Glass, there was a short-lived, though influential, network called the Tesla Broadcasting Company. They did things differently than the big networks at the time, the Columbia Broadcasting Systems and the NBCs of the world. They hired the talent no one else would. They told stories the others wouldn't dare, and in ways that were more complex and unique than the norm. Founded in New York in 1943 and acquired by CBS just 2 years later, the Tesla Broadcasting Company became a mere footnote in the history of American radio. That is, until March 10, 2013, when a Portland resident by the name of Brendan Jones, no relation, received a mysterious package in the mail. The package contained a rare treasure, transcripts of the long-lost scripts from TBC's archive. Brendan felt he had an obligation to bring these scripts back to life to honor not only the Tesla Broadcasting Company, but the golden age of radio itself. So, along with his partner Jerry Chrisman, he founded Tesla City Stories. Tesla City Stories is a troupe of radio actors who perform these scripts live on stage, just as it was done 70 years ago during radio's heyday, complete with music and sound effects. And they'll be opening their fifth season on Friday, June 28th at the Old Church Concert Hall in downtown Portland. We're fortunate to have Jerry Chrisman with us now, along with Tesla City cast members John Campbell and Karen O'Brien, to tell us more. Jerry, John, and Karen, thanks for joining us live at KBOO.
Sure, hello. Thanks
for
having us. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Jerry, Tesla City has such an amazing origin story. Did your partner, Brendan Jones, ever find out who sent those scripts and why they were sent to him?
Well, to this day, we don't know who did it. And it is an amazing story that he received those and was able to dig a little deeper and find all these amazing stories.
Can you give us an idea of what kinds of scripts were in that package?
Oh, we have everything, and we have years of material ahead of us. It's incredible. We have thrillers, we have mysteries. One of our favorite and one of our best shows is called The Wraith, similar to The Shadow. We have romantic comedies, screwball comedies, and then we also do a series of one-offs, which were only one or two episodes. And we're doing one at our season 5 premiere that is a spy thriller. So we're excited.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into it a little later. I wanted to tell people what the program was. As mentioned, you'll be entering your fifth season with the show on Friday, June 28th at the Old Church. An amazing accomplishment. So the program, let's get into that now. The season opener, spy thriller, it's a two-parter called Osprey 6, Quit Stalin.
Quit Stalin, that's correct.
It's a mouthful.
It's great. It's one of a kind, and we get to play a lot of different characters, and we have to brush up on our accents. I'm trying to learn to do a proper Russian accent.
Can you give us a taste?
Captain, that's all I can do. That's about it.
Don't worry, I got him covered.
What do you learn from Chekhov, pretty much?
That's exactly what
I heard there.
So, Karen, you'll be playing a Russian character in there?
I haven't seen the script yet, but I'm assuming that I will.
Can you do a Natasha from Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Well, of course, darling.
Oh, that's
I
perfect.
I do lots of Russian. I do it all the time on the podcast that I do and all that,
And that's right. And John will ask you if you could do a Boris, I guess.
Oh, I guess I can do sort of a Boris, like this sort of Russian, yes.
Now, if only I could do Edward Horton.
Perfect.
So, yeah, which I can't. I can't even pronounce his name. Now, John, let's start with you as a cast member, and then we'll get to Karen. When did you join Tesla City Stories?
I've been with the show about 3 years, I think, coming up on that. We've gone through a couple of cycles of cast members and lost a few, kept some. And, I've been with it since the relaunch at the Fremont Theater is when I first joined.
What's interesting about John is that he was originally cast as an alternate or a stand-in. And the other person couldn't fulfill it, and so John came in for him, and we are so grateful that he did. He's a tremendous cast member.
He does really awesome work.
Oh, what are some of the roles you've played?
Oh, a whole variety. I mean, in The Wraith, I play the Wraith's faithful sidekick, Bobek Koros. He is an Egyptian priest of Anubis.
Is there an accent there?
Oh, very much so. Oh, there's yes. There's an Egyptian accent there, which was actually at the audition for the show. I initially auditioned for The Wraith, and they said, how about this Bobek character? I went, oh, I don't have an Egyptian accent, but being an actor, you don't say that in an audition, so you just kind of try something out, and it came out kind of like Sala from Indiana Jones, and so he has sort of this, Sabi, priest of Anubis, sort of, you know.
Oh, that sounds good. And you were in the, there was the Hillbilly one too, right?
Yes.
I caught that performance.
I did play the dastardly Armand Bastrop in that, which was, he was sort of an arrogant young hillbilly.
And you lost the hog calling contest, correct?
I did lose the hog calling contest to the wonderful Laura Cross, beat me for that. That was another one that was another curveball when you read a script and suddenly it just says you do a hog call and you go, oh, okay.
But you have a background in improv. I see also here theater and stand-up comedy.
Yeah, I've done a lot of stuff around. I went to school for theater and I've done stand-up and all kinds of stuff. So it's this is kind of the perfect show for me, really, because it's a weird collection of skills you need to do in the show and also just be on your feet all the time, ready to pick up anything. And I've been doing voices my whole life, imitating people off of TV and stuff like that. So. When I saw this as an audition, I said, oh boy, this is the show I've kind of been waiting for.
Well, of course, the TBC, the original tapes, if they were even taped at the time, back in 1943, 44, 45, don't exist or have been lost to time.
Yeah, they're lost or destroyed.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
But still, there are tapes from that era of other radio shows. Have you gone back and done any research or listened to some of those golden age programs?
Absolutely. I mean, I had already heard a lot of them, being a connoisseur of kind of oddities of pop culture. I was already kind of into some of the older stuff, like The Shadow and The Green Hornet and some of those characters. Specifically listening to them now in the context of this is what I'm doing is very interesting, very fun to hear.
One thing that happens to us all the time is people like, well, why would I come see radio? And we have to explain that it was performed live in the 40s, so you came and watched it, and that's what we're recreating. It's a lot of fun.
Well, it was the primary medium in America.
Yes.
It's hard to realize that now. Before TV came in, it was movies at the same time, but it was a ritual where a whole family would sit down in front of this huge radio set and listen to their favorite programs like Little Orphan Annie or The Shadow, some of the ones John mentioned.
My father did. He lived in rural Texas, in Kearns, Texas. Every Sunday night, the whole extended family gathered around the radio, and he said he could remember drifting off to sleep staring at the vacuum tube. You know, glow of the radio.
Because it took a while, once you turned it off, for that glow to go away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now and there's really something to be said for theater of the mind. It really, the special effects you can get are just tremendous because it's all happening in your mind with sound effects and voices and things like
That's one thing I love about radio, and especially those old-time shows or Tesla City and the podcast you do, Karen, BS de Resistance.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yes. We actually were guests on your show a couple of months ago. Thank you so much for bringing us on.
Oh, no, you guys are great. I love the show. And yes, there are some Russian characters in there.
There are. It's a political...
It's a political satire.
Political satire podcast. We have a song in every show. We just actually won an award at the Here Now Festival in Kansas City. We were part of the Platinum Listening Lounge.
And Phil Proctor was there, wasn't he?
Phil Proctor was there.
Probably one of the greatest audio comedians of all time of the Firesign Theater.
Oh, yeah. He was an awfully nice guy.
Well, you were there then?
Oh, yes. Yes, I was.
What was that like?
Oh, it was tremendous. Uh-huh. My cohort, Dale and I went to the Platinum Listening Lounge, and we introduced the show, talked a little bit about it, and people, you know, listened to it. They had, you know, several podcasts going on at the same time, but they also had, oh gosh, they had Mark Twain stories being read aloud, and they had, live performances and an award show for indie audiobooks, and it's a real wide-ranging thing that encompasses all audio theater and things. But we're here to talk about Tesla City Stories.
Well, I was going to ask John, you and Karen, by listening, not only doing your own podcast, and I know, John, you do one called Panel Up.
panel up, yeah.
But also listening to the old-time radio shows, what have you learned about acting in Tesla City Stories? Again, it's even though you're live on stage and people can see you in the audience, most of it comes through the voice rather than any kind of gestures or physical activity on stage.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're losing some of your tactics as an actor to a certain extent. So you really have to compensate for that and put it all into the voice. So suddenly every movement needs to be conveyed through the voice. You know, your emotions are very omnipresent. The other thing is, because we are on stage, we're also in front of microphones, so we're not projecting in the same sense that you would in a play. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely a unique experience as an actor.
And actors get to play a lot of different roles, which in a play or movie you don't.
Well, I would say that's actually my favorite thing about the show, is I get to play parts that no one would ever cast me in a million years, because I don't fit the physical type, whether that be my ethnicity or my physicality or anything
or
like that.
Age.
Or age, exactly. I've played both a 12-year-old boy and an 80-year-old man in this show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's immense fun. And
completely convincingly.
Oh, thank you.
You look like neither, by the way.
Yeah, he's somewhere in between.
I would say closer to the 12.
Than to the 80.
I mean, if I had to guess. And Karen, how about you? Obviously, you've listened to some of the old-time radio show, too, in addition to doing BS to Resistance.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I find it really freeing to be on the stage and doing all these different parts and all these different characters. And I think the audience really, really enjoys it. They really get into it. I mean, some of them come dressed up in 1940s outfits and things like that.
And Jerry, it's not just going through the play. There's other things involved, too. I mean, the sound effects and music, but you also have a musical interlude.
We do.
You have a cigarette girl. Alcohol is served. These huge bottles of very strong vodka, I've seen it.
We encourage people to visit the bar during the show.
That's right. It's definitely a variety show. We always have a period musical act. And this show, we have a new one. Their first time with us, the Newport Nightingales. And we're really excited. They're terrific. And it's pretty loose. We interact with the audience a lot, so, and we have all ages.
And you have giveaways. I actually won the bottle of vodka.
So. And it wasn't rigged. It was not rigged.
No, I felt so guilty getting up and getting it. Because before, I got to tell you the story, before the show, when I was filling out, giving my raffle ticket, you put your name on it or something like that, or anyway, you put in a box, there was a little kid there. He must have been about 12 years old or so. And he was filling out about, I don't know, 4, 5, or 6. He must have come with his family, or else he had a printing machine. So I said, man, you've got a really good chance of winning. And here I win. And he must have been looking at me. I was looking around for him. I was going to give him the vodka, but I ended up giving it to Karen.
I'm glad he didn't win the vodka as 12-year-old.
Yeah, we can't do that.
We had an alternate prize at that end.
There's laws.
Now, I'm enjoying just being here with you, but listeners can have the same experience on Saturday, June 22nd. You have a cast party.
June 28th.
Oh, no, I mean the cast party.
Oh, sorry.
I want
to
talk about first, yeah.
Oh, yes, meet and greet. Come chat with us. We'd love to see you.
Can you give us the details of where, when, if there's tickets? Do people just show up?
It's free to all, and the name of the place just escapes me.
I believe
terrible.
It's the Portland Book Pub.
I think that's correct.
I believe that's what it is. There's no tickets that you're we'll just be there hanging out, and you can come talk to us. And
what time is that on Saturday?
It's
the
from
22nd?
7 to 11 p.m.
Okay, and you can meet the cast of Tesla City Stories, and then the next week, Friday the 28th, at the Old Church. There's the preseason cast. So it's the Rose City Book Pub, 1329 Northeast Fremont. And the Old Church is the location for Tesla City Stories, the 28th, and that's the spy thriller night where there'll be a lot of Russian accents going around. It'll be somewhat like the White House.
Oh, yes. So, it'll be a lot of fun.
If any Republicans show up, they'll feel right at home.
And if you want information, you can always just find us on our website, TeslaCityStories.com.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Is there a way to... I did hear rumors that there might be a podcast, that you've actually recorded some, and there's a possible release date, not an exact date, but a kind of a ballpark figure.
That's going to come out in the fall, and we're really excited about it because it's really going to expand our audience. We get that question all the time, and we've been working on it for a while, but we finally got momentum, and we've been recording Sam Mowry, a previous cast member and well-known voice artist.
The best voice in Portland, if not the entire country.
Right, he's been
fantastic.
Yes. He's at the Willamette Radio Workshop. He's been so generous by donating his recording studio for us, and we're just thrilled. So that's really sped things up for us, and it should come out hopefully in September.
And what's the format of the podcast? Is it just the individual scripts that you do live on stage? But of course you record it, so the sound's a little more suited for a podcast.
Each episode will be about 30 minutes. Sometimes we'll do history. Sometimes we'll talk about how the scripts are discovered. And then definitely the stories. Each episode will be recorded as a podcast episode.
Will you be doing the live or the Foley effects, the sound effects?
Yes.
While you're recording, or you put those in later and add music, some post-production?
There's some post-production, but there'll definitely be live Foley sound effects. Mm-hmm. And we have a tremendous Foley artist, David, who works with us.
It's incredible what you do. So David actually does some live Foley the way they did it in the golden age of radio.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And then Jerry is usually behind a MacBook.
Well hidden, yes.
Yes, but also doing some electronic, and the keyboard doing some electronics.
He's a very talented musician.
Yeah.
Well, we do digital effects, but it's accurate because back in the 40s, they would do needle drops on records. So they would have pre-recorded effects that way, in addition to, you know, coconut halves for horse hooves.
Right. Well, there was a whole science associated with Foley in that era. One of the funniest was Sam's group, Willamette Radio Workshop. They did old-time radio comedies. And one of the ones they did, I think David Ian was the one doing the Foley for it, was Fibber McGee and Molly. The running gag on that was opening up Fibber McGee's closet and having about 5 minutes of things just kind of tumbling out of it. And they actually did that live. It was just incredible. The last sound was kind of a coin in a metal bowl. And it just resonated for about a minute or so. It was amazing.
Kept spinning and ringing. Yeah, I love
it. How David managed that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And people
He's
love
good at
to
what
come.
He does.
Yes, he is. People love to come and watch the live Foley sound effects. It's really cool.
It is exactly like being transported back to that different era. And it's a form of entertainment that has not gone out of date by any means.
It seems to be resonating. You know, we started this
5 years, yes.
5 years, and we started small, and it just kept growing and resonating, and it's accessible for all ages. It's been a tremendous journey, and we're going to keep it going for a long time.
Yeah, and each show is different. So don't think, you know, if you come see the June show, you will have already seen the July show, because it's going to be
There might not be
different.
Any spies in July. It might be it could be the Wraith. It could be...
It's going to be no spy July.
The Viola, kind of a serial, a sitcom-type serial. Could be any of those, or one of the one-offs, depending what you pick out of that treasure chest from TBC.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're lucky. We have such a trove to choose from.
We sure do.
Well, Jerry, John, and Karen, thanks so much for joining us live at KABU. We've been talking with Jerry Chrisman, co-founder and producer of Tesla City Stories, and Tesla City cast members John Campbell and Karen O'Brien. The new season, Tesla City's fifth, launches Friday, June 28th at the Old Church Concert Hall. That's located at 1422 Southwest 11th in Portland. Doors at 7 p.m., show at 8 o'clock. This is Ken Jones for KABU's News In Depth.